Penguin Random House Audio presents Bonfire by Kristen Ritter. Read for you by Carissa Vacker. Prologue. My last year of high school, when Casey Mitchell and her friends got sick, my father had a bunch of theories.
"Those girls are bad news," he said. "Nothing but trouble."
He took it as a matter of faith that they were being punished. To him, they deserved what they got. Casey was the first. This made sense. She was the first to do everything. Lose her virginity, try a cigarette, throw a party. Casey walked in front of her friends like an alpha wolf leading the pack. In the cafeteria, she decided where to sit and the others followed. If she ate her lunch, the rest did too. If she pushed her food around on her tray or just ate a bag of Swedish fish, her friends did the same. Misha was the meanest and the loudest one, but Casey was the leader. So when she got sick, we, the senior girls of Barron's High, weren't horrified or disturbed or worried. We were jealous. We all secretly hoped we'd be next. The first time it happened was in fourth period debate. Everyone had to participate in mock elections. Casey made her way through three rounds of primary elections. She was easy to believe in the role of politician, convincing and quick-witted, a talented liar. I'm not even sure Casey knew when she was telling the truth and when she wasn't. She was standing at the front of the room delivering a practiced stump speech when suddenly it was as though the tether connecting her voice to her throat was cut. Her mouth kept moving, but the volume had been turned off. No words came out. For a few seconds, I thought there was something wrong with me. Then her hands seized the podium, then her jaw froze, locked open as if she were stuck, silently screaming. I was sitting in the first row. No one else ever wanted those seats, so they were mine to take, and she was only a few feet away from me. I'll never forget how her eyes looked, like they'd transformed suddenly into tunnels. Derek Ellis shouted something, but Casey ignored him. I could see her tongue behind her teeth, a wad of white gum sitting there. Some people laughed. They must have thought it was a joke. But I didn't. I'd been friends with Casey, best friends, back when we were young. It was only the second time in my life I'd ever seen her look afraid. Her hands began to shake, and that's when all the laughter stopped. Everyone went quiet. For a long time, there was no sound in the room, but a silver ring she always wore clacking loudly against the podium. Then the shaking traveled up her arms, her eyes rolled back, and she fell, taking the podium down with her. I remember being on my feet. I remember people shouting. I remember Mrs. Cunningham on her knees, lifting Casey's head, and someone screaming about keeping her from swallowing her tongue. Someone ran for the nurse. Someone else was crying. I don't remember who, just the sound of it, a desperate whimpering. Weirdly, the only thing I could think to do was pick up her notes, which had fallen, and reshuffle them in order, making sure the corners aligned. Then, all of a sudden, it passed. The spasm apparently left her body like an ebbing tide. Her eyes opened. She blinked and sat up, looking vaguely confused but not displeased to find us all gathered around her. By the time the nurse came, she seemed normal again. She insisted it was just a weak spell because she hadn't eaten. The nurse led Casey out of the classroom, and the whole time she was glancing back at us over her shoulder as if to be sure we were all watching her go. And we were. Of course we were. She was the kind of person you couldn't help but watch. We all forgot about it, or pretended to. Then, 3 days later, it happened again. Chapter 1. State Highway 59 becomes Plantation Road 2 miles after the exit for Barron's. The old wooden sign is easy to miss, even among the colorless surroundings. For years now, on road trips from Chicago to New York, I've been able to pass on by without any anxiety, hold my breath, count to five, Exhale. Leave Baron safely behind, no old shadows running out of the dark woods to strangle me. That's a game I used to play as a kid. Whenever I would get scared or have to go down to the old backyard shed in the dark, as long as I held my breath, no monsters or axe murderers or deformed figures from horror movies would be able to get me. I would hold my breath and run full speed until my lungs were bursting and I was safe in the house with the door closed behind me. I even taught Casey this game back when we were kids, before we started hating each other. It's embarrassing, but I still do it. And the thing is, it works. Most of the time. Alone, locked in a gas station bathroom, I scrub my hands until the skin cracks and a tiny trickle of blood runs down the drain. It's the third time I've washed my hands since I crossed the border into Indiana. In the dinged mirror over the sink, my face looks pale and warped, and the memories of Barron's bloom again like toxic flowers. This was a bad idea. I shove open the bathroom door and squint into the early sunlight as I get back into my car. At the turnoff, I pass a deer carcass buzzing with flies, its head still improbably intact and almost pretty-looking, mouth open in a final sigh. Impossible to say whether it was hit by a car or struck by a passing bullet. Typically, fresh roadkill gets scooped up by a good old boy, loaded into a smoker, and made into venison jerky. I hit a deer in my old Ford Echo when I was 17. It was picked up even before I was. But this deer is, for some reason, undisturbed. Hunting game is a main activity in Barron's. The main activity, actually. It's built into the culture, if you can call it that. Hunting season isn't officially until winter, but every year kids sneak out with a six-pack, a spotlight, and their father's guns to scout for a big buck or watch a few fawns and a doe grazing. And after a few beers, they take shots at whatever they can aim for. My dad used to take me with him to hunt. Our father-daughter bonding activities usually involved an outing to the taxidermist. Deer, coyote, and bear heads adorn the walls of our house like trophies. He taught me to step on the bodies of the pheasants he took down while he snapped their necks in one hand. I remember how annoyed he was when I cried over the first deer I watched him kill, how he made me place my hands on its still warm body and the blood pulsing out of the hole that had ripped its life away. "Death is beautiful," he said. My mother was beautiful once, too, until bone cancer did its work. Chewed off her hair, carved her body into a shell of muscle and bone, took her cell by cell. After she died, my father told me it was the ultimate blessing and that we should be thankful because the Lord had chosen her to be part of his flock in heaven. I turn from Plantation Road onto Route 205, which eventually becomes Main Street, struck hard by the smell of cow manure in the heat. It's mid-June, end of the school year, but it feels like high summer. Fields brown beneath the sun. Another mile on, I pass a brand new sign, "Welcome to Barron's, population 5,027. The last time I was here, 10 years ago, the population was barely half that. Main Street is, in fact, the Main Street, but even on a 9-mile stretch, passing 3 cars is high traffic. I count telephone poles. I count crows swaying on the wires. I count silos in the distance, arranged like fists. I turn my life into numbers, into accounting. For 10 years, I've lived in Chicago. I've been a lawyer for 3. After 6 months in private practice, I landed a job at CEAW, the Center for Environmental Advocacy Work. I have a future, a life, a clean and bright condo in Lincoln Park with dozens of bookshelves and not a single Bible. I meet friends in downtown Chicago bars and clubs and speakeasies where the cocktails have ingredients like lilac and egg white. I have friends now, period. And boyfriends, if you can call them that. As many as I want, nameless and indistinguishable, rotating in and out of my bed and life and on my own terms. Most nights, I don't even have nightmares anymore.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?